Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Welcome to ModPath Chat, the official podcast of Modern Pathology, featuring interviews with authors and experts on the latest science, technology, and developments in the field of pathology. Your host, Dr. George Netto, is the editor-in-chief of Modern Pathology and the chair of pathology at the University of Alabama at Birmingham. Here's Dr. Netto.
Welcome to a new episode of ModPath Chat. Our guests today are three distinguished authors of a recent study from Memorial Sloan Kettering that was published in Modern Pathology. The study described a new machine learning algorithm that can help pathologists assess shave margins from lumpectomy specimens. The authors and guests are Dr. Timothy D'Alfonso, an associate attending pathologist at Memorial with clinical and research interests in breast cancer. Dr. David Ho, the brain, I guess, in the group. I know all of you are brainy, but he's the engineer, so he's not like us. A machine learning computational scientist at Memorial Sloan Kettering with a background in electrical and computer engineering. David works on multi-class tissue segmentation of histopathology whole slides. And last, but certainly not least, Dr. Lee Tan, or Kiki, as I would call her. We go back till the days of our fellowships. Dr. Tan is an attending pathologist at Memorial who is an internationally renowned expert in the field of breast cancer. Thank you all for joining me today.
Thank you, George. Thank you for having us.
Thank you.
It's a pleasure. So this is a great study, and we'll go through some of the points. And I'm really hoping this will take off, and you can get it to us to where we start using it on a day to day. It will cut a lot of the tedious work. And so let's dig in. Tell me why did you think about doing this study?
Let me take that question, because I will leave the rest of your questions to be answered by David or by Tim. I'm basically just a supporting author here. This idea preceded Tim and David. I had this idea a while ago, and when actually we have a digital pathology set up, that's when I actually approached Victor Reuter, you know him. He is one of the pioneers in our department for digital pathology. And I asked him, would this be possible? Because we, as you know, breast pathology requires a lot of slide examination. Our surgeons have started doing the separate margin. So they do a lumpectomy that is not oriented, and then they give us five or sometimes six separate shaved margins that we orient. And so those are a lot of slides to be reviewed. And so I thought, well, maybe we could do this machine learning. And lucky me, shortly thereafter, Tim came to join us. And I was also introduced to David Ho. So that's how it came about. And, you know, the idea that I had was eventually to have a something that we can use, like the screening for pap smears, that the system will tell us, look at this. You can dismiss the five other slides for this margin, but look at this one slide and tell me what you think. And therefore, I think David knows this, that we need to have a sensitivity of 100%. We need to reach a sensitivity of 100%. Specificity, actually, it's less of an issue, because if the machine tells us, look at this, and it's nothing, we can just dismiss it. But we cannot have a missed diagnosis. So I will leave it at that.
Excellent. Very good framing of the issue at hand. But a lot of pressure. It has to be 100%, David. So, okay. So what the tools? How did you start? From scratch, or you had some kind of algorithm? Tim or David can address that.
Okay, so I can introduce the tool, machine learning tool that we use for this study. So we decided to use a segmentation approach, because segmentation can highlight where the tumor is located at, you know, how large it is, and some other characteristics. So most of the segmentation machine learning models used for natural images use a single magnification-based approach. But in pathology, I learned while interacting with pathologists at MSK that they zoom in and out to see various morphological patterns on whole slide images. So, for example, sometimes they zoom in to the highest magnification to observe cellular features, but sometimes they zoom out to see the overall growth pattern. So I was motivated by that to develop my model called Deep Multi-Magnification Network, which looks at multiple magnifications to have more accurate segmentation. So Deep Multi-Magnification Network, or DMMN, has been used to segment cancer on breast margin slide images for this study. Previously, we had this model trained by triple negative breast cancer. So we used that as our initial model. And based on our margin slide images, we were able to fine-tune the model to improve the segmentation performance to segment not only high-grade patterns, but low-grade patterns on breast images. So
let me interrupt you here. So this DMMN, so basically it's Deep Multi-Magnification Network, just a method where you're going on the same area in different powers and including it in your algorithm, right? And
exactly.
My understanding is these fields are co-centered around an area, so you can use all the data points from tissue texture to architecture and combine all these to empower you in a specific patch, correct?
Exactly, that's correct.
So, of course, I knew all that because I read the paper. So this is a great paper I recommend to everyone to read. Now the idea is, and then you said you fine-tuned the algorithm. How did you do that? You developed initially an algorithm for a TNBC, right? And now, so how do you fine-tune an algorithm? Because that could be interesting for our audience to adapt something and make it better for what you're trying to do.
Okay, thanks for asking that question. So we use an annotation approach called deep interactive learning that we developed. So we had 20 cases of validations set for breast margin images, and we run our initial model on those 20 validation sets to see if any area needs to be corrected. Sometimes we observe first positive, sometimes we observe first negative. So after we make some additional annotations from this validation set, we were able to fine-tune the model. We were able to add more challenging patterns to the training set to make sure that the model learns those challenging patterns presented in breast margin images. So that's how we
improve. And you do that manually? When you say annotate, you go to the area that one missed and include it now, tell the computer this should be counted as such, not such, right? Is that how you do it?
Yes, we did it manually, but instead of starting from scratch, the annotator only needs to look for first positive and first negatives. So the annotation time was drastically reduced. I would say we spent only 2-3 hours to improve the model. So I think that was one of the big contributions of this work.
That's amazing. Just 2-3 hours.
Wow. Yes.
Great. So, well, and after you tune this.
I'm not sure. I think Tim put in a lot of work annotating the slides.
Through a few rounds of annotation, and even during the study, we further fine-tuned the model, not through more annotation, but it is quite tedious manually annotating some of these cases.
Yeah, but I mean, for that initial TMBC, go into that, probably that's what David was referring. But I'm aware that even after when you move to the validation set, you had to annotate again and fine tune, right? So
yes,
it's a reiterative process. So yeah, so Tim, tell us about the next step. So we applied the system.
So we wanted to apply David's model to a set of lumpectomy margin images. So the first thing we did was want to identify lumpectomy cases in which basically all the slides were scanned and into our MSK viewer. We have our own MSK viewer that was developed here where we can view images, make labels, annotate, take pictures, things like that. And we're fortunate enough to have a very busy slide scanning capabilities here at MSK, scanning about 15 to 20,000 slides a week. We're also scanning a lot of biopsies, or pretty much all the core biopsies prior to them being delivered to our mailboxes. So we're lucky to have a lot of cases, yeah, retrospective cases that were completely scanned. And so we first wanted to focus our study on basically just invasive carcinoma, ductal carcinoma, no special type, and DCIS in margins. Just, can the model identify this in the margins? We didn't focus on any special histologic types. As you know, breast cancer is very heterogeneous, and a mucinous carcinoma looks much different than a triple negative high grade cancer. So we focused on the ductal NOS types, and we retrieved essentially a set of lumpectomy cases of various, in which the tumors had various histologic grades, and have margins that are both benign and have carcinoma in the margins. And as is in our routine practice, the majority of the margins that we evaluate are benign. And we look at quite a few slides, as Kiki mentioned, 1 to 6 slides per margin times 5 or 6 margins per case. So you can be looking at over 35, 40 slides in some cases. So we imported all these images into the viewer. For each margin image, I reviewed all of them and established a ground truth as positive for carcinoma or negative for carcinoma, and whether it's invasive or DCIS. So we established these ground truths, and we ran the algorithm on a series of 408 whole slide images. This was our validation set, of which 85% were benign images or benign slides, and about 15% had either DCIS or invasive carcinoma in the margins. So, and this was from 98 separate shaved margin specimens. And at that point, we got an area under the curve of, I believe it was 0.941. It was a good result, but we had a lot of false positives. So that's when we went back and re-annotated certain false positives. And margin specimens often have a lot of biopsy site changes, cautery artifact, and there were some other sources of false positives that were even just a little unexpected, like certain fibrocystic changes. So we went back and annotated those, as well as some other features or tissue features that we saw that were causing false positives, and ran the algorithm again, and did have better results with fewer false positives. We established a pretty high sensitivity, but we found the algorithm did miss, or the model did miss, a few cases of carcinoma. And these were basically small, well-differentiated invasive carcinomas, or basically single ducts of low grade DCIS that
make them benign.
Exactly. Yeah.
And also some DCIS, also intermediate or low grade.
Right. Exactly. Very small foci, and they were just not interpreted. They weren't segmented as carcinoma by the model.
So, and these, I mean, to put it into perspective, these were only four cases, but still, you know, you cannot afford the single margin because the task was handed from Kiki. It has to be 100% and rightly so. So that's even right. The sensitivity was above 90%. Yeah, you still wanted it to be higher. I just want to remind our audience, if I'm correct, if not correct, correct me, please, that the segmentation or the model that David and Tim developed was just telling us it has cancer, no cancer. So it doesn't distinguish DCIS from invasive, correct?
That's correct.
Then just tells you there is tumor there. And then, of course, when you're looking, signing out the case, it's just already that area segmented for you and you can classify it further, correct?
Correct.
That's correct.
And why did you do that, David? Is it harder to create three categories? Because it would seem to me, as a prostate guy who's very simple-minded, DCIS versus infiltration, you guys don't have that. I guess you have invasive cribriform, but why was that?
That's a very good question. One of the reasons is our initial model, triple-negative breast cancer model, doesn't have any DCIS during training. And second, in my opinion, classification between invasive carcinoma and DCIS is challenging because the cellular features are very similar. So we have to really zoom out to see the duct to distinguish between DCIS and invasive carcinoma. So we want to tackle that issue as our future work. So we are planning to do that for this pilot study. We didn't spend too much time distinguishing those two subtypes, but we want to make sure that tumor regions on breast margin slide images are successfully segmented and being highlighted.
Got it. And for what Kiki is trying to achieve, you know, is just you wanna, you know, just point to the tumor. It's not like you wanna sign the case by the computer, correct? Right.
Exactly. And also, if I may chime in, George, in breast currently, for the margin status, whether you're dealing with invasive or in situ carcinoma, DCIS, I'm not talking about LCIS, DCIS or invasive carcinoma, it has actually not that much difference in clinical management, because if there is something, then the surgeon decides whether to go back or not, depending on at some point the volume. I think volume for DCIS in margin might play a role in the future. And there are nuances in the treatment, in the management of those positive margins. Currently, if you're dealing with elderly patients, some surgeons don't even go back if it's just very little DCIS left. The grade of the DCIS plays a role. So yeah, this is just the start. We have a long way to go.
And my understanding is the distant also, it's your plan in the future to from ink distant, because all this is telling you there is a, in that section, but it's not interrogating how far from ink. Is that's correct?
Yes.
And that's left for future studies.
Yes. And David's technique is really will allow us eventually to measure the distance to the tumor, because you can, you know, with this segmentation model, you know where it is in reference to the margin.
What a fascinating study. So you're going to crank it up to a better, you're optimistic about getting it to 100% and addressing also the lobular, which we don't have time to talk about. It wasn't included here, correct?
Yes,
ultimately.
You don't see technical barriers, David. You have confidence that you can do something like that?
Yeah, I'm confident. We're confident and we're trying to make that happen right now.
Excellent. Well, we look forward to that follow-up study, and you know where to send it, you know, to the best journal. Well, this is wonderful. You may even get another podcast, become a rock star. So thank you all. Thank you, Kiki. So nice to see you again. And thank you to the brilliant young scientist and pathologist. And I am really honored to have you and look forward to future interaction.
Thank you for having
me. Thank you very much, George.
Thank you.
Hope to see you soon.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Any opinions expressed in this podcast are the speaker's own and do not represent the views of Modern Pathology, Springer Nature, UAB, or USCAP. Your ModPath Chat host and scientific director is Dr. George Netto. Producers are Christina Crow, Amber Jackson, Dr. Sarah Jang, and Dr. Catherine Ketchum. Technical direction is provided by Kaminsky Productions, music by Mitch Neubauer. Thanks to the authors, reviewers, and editors of Modern Pathology for making this podcast possible.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Welcome back to Two Judgy Girls. I'm Mary from the Bay.
And I'm Courtney from LA. TJG is the podcast where we spill all the tea on your favorite reality TV shows, celebrity gossip, and everything in between. We're here to bring you our unfiltered opinions, hilarious commentary, and plenty of laughs along the way.
We're two SDSU Delta Gamma sisters with a microphone and a whole lot of opinions. Each week, we dive headfirst into the wild world of reality television, from Bravo to all the trash TV you could want. We break down the drama, dissect the latest scandals, and share our thoughts on everything from the jaw-dropping moments to the embarrassing antics.
But that's not all. We're not here to just gossip. We're here to connect with you, the jurors, and share our love of all things pop culture. Whether we're dishing on the latest celebrity breakups, discussing our favorite guilty pleasure movies, or sharing embarrassing stories from our own lives, we promise to keep it real, keep it fun, and keep you coming back for more.
Come judge with us.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.